Because we're looking at genuine financial chaos in the future. And as the dollar gets into really, really deep trouble in the years to come, with all the dollars that have been exported, they've been our major export now for decades. I think if the dollar is going to be stabilized again and tied to gold, we're looking at $20,000 or $30,000 an ounce, but that's speculative on this point. So what I'm doing is playing, as I always have, with mining stocks, the gold mining stocks, and they are, relative to other things, about as cheap as they've ever been in history. So gold, reasonably priced, possible upside potential. Mining stocks, dirt cheap, really cheap right now. And if they do this time, as they've done about five times in the last 50 years before, well, we could see 10 to 1 on the whole group, with some of them going 100 to 1.
Doug Casey, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Great, Andy. It's nice to be here at the moment. Usually for me, here is in either Punta del Este, Uruguay, or Buenos Aires, Argentina. But right now, it's on the shores of the Chesapeake in Virginia, where I like to spend the northern summer.
Well, welcome back home. Well, I shouldn't say welcome back home. Welcome to the U.S. Home isn't a lot of places for you, but I'm glad we're in the same time zone, if that makes any sense. So we are in a crazy time in the world. There's all of this change that's happening, whether it's economic change, whether it's geopolitical change, all these forever wars. I remember you wrote about that in your book, Crisis Investing. That was 30 years ago, I want to say. Forever wars. Where are we now, really, in history? Or I guess, yeah, where are we now, and what are you seeing, and what are you concerned about?
Well, it's a long-term trend, as far as the U.S. is concerned, anyway, a trend that's been going on for many decades, and I'm afraid is accelerating at this point. One big problem is that the U.S. government is terminally bankrupt. I think it's out of control. It's like a gambler on tilt at this point. There's actually no way back for it. And of course, Trump supporters, and I admit that offered the choice between Kamala and the Donald, you had no choice. You had to go for the Donald because at least he tried to turn back the tidal wave of wokeism. So, okay, that's great. But there's a lot of things going on in the world today that we're in for extremely troubled times. I've been saying for years that we're headed into the Greater Depression because it's going to be much worse, much longer lasting, and much different than the unpleasantness of 1929 to 1946. But it's kind of a witch's brew, everything going on today, compounded financially and economically, certainly. But compounded now by real military risks, domestic problems. I mean, I think we're actually on the cusp of something that looks like a civil war in the US. And of course, internationally, this could get out of control and lead into World War III. And on top of that, artificial intelligence is, I think, such a big deal that we're looking at something like the Industrial Revolution all over again, which was very tumultuous. So I'd say hold on to your hat.
So I want to talk about the AI revolution. I would agree with you, and I don't know exactly what that looks like, other than that's huge, huge change. But let's talk about financially here. You were inspiring to me, and you really during early my years being in gold stocks and junior mining stocks. Gold has had such a great run. And if you look at a chart from the S&P till now, it's outperformed the S&P, I want to say, for 25 years. I could be wrong on that, but it's been several years. And the junior gold stocks are finally catching a big bid after years of really be going nowhere, being doormat.
Yeah.
What's your view on all of that? Does gold have a lot higher to go? And as we're talking, it's over $3,600 an ounce US dollar. What's your view on that? And then even the junior gold stocks, not specifically, but they're catching a bid. Are you still in that world, if you would?
Yeah, very much. Of course, I've been a bull on gold since I first discovered proper economics and all this type of thing. So I've been long gold for 50 years, more than 50 years. That's shocking, I know. But it's true, and it's been very good to me, going from, in my case, $40 an ounce to, it's almost been 100 to one shot. But I've used it as a savings vehicle, more than a speculative vehicle, gold itself. But right now, compared to other things, in the past, it was very, very underpriced relative to price of a meal, the price of a suit, the price of a house. Historically, it was underpriced. But now, at $3,600, it's where it should be relative to everything else. It's no longer a bargain. So where do I think it's going? Well, number one, you should continue to use it as a savings vehicle because it's the only financial asset that's not simultaneously somebody else's liability.
Mm-hmm.
But could it go higher? Yeah, it could, because we're looking at genuine financial chaos in the future. And as the dollar gets into really, really deep trouble in the years to come, with all the dollars that have been exported, they've been our major export now for decades. If the dollar is going to be stabilized again and tied to gold, we're looking at $20,000 or $30,000 an ounce. But that's speculative on this point. So what I'm doing is playing, as I always have, with mining stocks, gold mining stocks, and they are, relative to other things, about as cheap as they've ever been in history. So gold, reasonably priced, possible upside potential. Mining stocks, dirt cheap, really cheap right now. And if they do this time, as they've done about five times in the last 50 years before, well, we could see 10 to 1 on the whole group, with some of them going 100 to 1. So that's the answer in a nutshell.
Got it. So I had, I had Rick Rule on. We talked about you. I'll send you that interview. This was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. We talked about constructing a portfolio and we were talking about specific stock names, and then it reminded me of you, and I brought this up. He actually brought it up, and then I remembered it from your book of 30 years ago. Constructing a portfolio, and there's a lot of caveats to this. Advocate's not the right word, but you had this idea that I think makes a lot of sense. If you had, let's say, 10 or 20 gold stocks, again, deep diving in them, it actually, the portfolio would, I want to say, outperform or significantly outperform a normal portfolio of, you know, that's usually, depending on your age, a mixture of 60% stocks and the S&P and bonds and that sort of thing. Is that still your, I guess, do you still hold that view? And again, a lot of caveats, you're going to suffer a lot of volatility with something of that construct, but is that something that you'd still view?
Yeah, well, problem with these gold stocks is they're probably the most volatile class of securities in the world, more volatile than biotech or computer stocks or anything. And the part of the volatility problem is that when the bull market is over, these things collapse 90 or 95%. It's just devastating, especially what happens to the little ones. So as time has gone on, I'm more and more averse to recommending people buy them because people don't realize that most of these little mining stocks And who knows, there's about 2,000 of them in the world. That's a lot. They're burning matches, frankly. And if you hold them long enough, they're not growth businesses. You're going to get stuck holding the bag. So I don't particularly recommend them to people, except, you know, cyclically. Now is one of those times, I think, when you should buy them. But they're not heirlooms. You don't want to hold these things forever.
Yeah. Talk about, pivot a little bit about, and then I want to get into what you would do. But talk a little about the geopolitical nature or the time that we're in. I remember, again, reading in your book, you were talking about forever wars. And that was, I want to say, somewhat prophetic because it seems like, I mean, just recently, you know, Israel, you know, bombing the hell out of Qatar, I guess, the whole Russia-Ukraine, Russia moving into Poland or whatever, us threatening Venezuela. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, do you see this winding down or even winding up more, the forever wars?
No, it's going to get worse because it's been said, war is the health of the state. And it's really what the state does for a living, is war against other states. And now the whole world, all these governments are bankrupt. Almost all of them are bankrupt. The U.S. government is totally and absolutely and irretrievably bankrupt. England, France, China's in a lot of trouble financially and economically. And so they don't want the natives to get restless. And so the thing is to blame your problems on other countries. Yeah, blame it on those damned Arabs for selling their oil for too much or too little, or blame it on those damned Chinese for producing stuff so cheaply that we can't produce it here in the U.S. You know, you blame these things on foreign entities. And some parts of the world we haven't even heard much about are going to be overrun with wars in the future, like Africa in particular. All those 54 countries in Africa are all artificial constructs, all going to be fighting with each other much more in the future. So, yeah, it's going to be forever wars. And of course, one of the things, the only things that the U.S. produces that it can export, except for dollars, which we basically export dollars in exchange for real goods, is weaponry. So, you know, it's a dog's breakfast out there. It's a dangerous situation. And you've got, you know, actual criminals running these governments, like Zelensky. Years ago, Pentagon Papers revealed that he was worth about $600 billion. How does a down-at-his-heels, worthless actor comedian get $600 million? Well, now he's in the multi-billion dollar range. And, you know, and in third world countries, it's not the guy on top. It's the guys under him that steal more than they do. So all that money we've shipped to Ukraine has basically been stolen in addition to blowing up and pissed away. It's all disgusting. And, of course, Israel is like our 51st state. I mean, why the U.S. is involved in the problems of a foreign country defending them like they're our pet dog, it's insane, can only get us in trouble and make a lot of enemies among the Muslim world. It's all crazy. And of course, you know, here at home, like I said, I think we're on the ragged edge of a civil war, something that looks like it anyway.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you. I actually get a lot of emails. I get a lot of comments and I go to different conferences and that sort of thing. And I get a similar thread, a similar question is what is a person, actionable steps of what a person is to do. And I want to really phrase that question. I would say somebody younger than myself, as we talked off camera, I have 5 kids, 16 to 25. They ask me these questions, what should I do, Dad? Talk about that. And I know you just wrote your book, and I'd really like to deeper dive into that, some of the advice and tips. you would give to younger people?
Well, as any author would, Andy, I happen to have a copy of it with me. And this is it. The preparation is what it's called. And in the past, I've written financial books, which have all done well, and I've written novels, a series of novels, of which the fourth is going to be coming out soon. But this book is a new twist for me. It talks about why a young man should not go to college, should avoid it like the plague, and why that's true. Most people think, got to go to college, get an education. No, you don't get an education when you go to college. What you do is you get indoctrination. And in return for that indoctrination, which you don't want, you're saddled with a giant amount of undismissible student loan debt. But what should you do with those 4 years? Because when you get out of high school, you're not qualified for anything but working at McDonald's, essentially, or maybe joining the military, which some people do. It's got its pros and cons. Or maybe learning a trade so you can feed yourself. So what are you going to do? And most people go to college because it's a halfway house on the way to becoming an adult. Not a good one. So what we've done in this book, The Preparation, is lay out exactly what a young man should do instead of going to college. And in this book, we lay out how you learn, and that's the key. It's not passing courses and getting grades and getting a diploma. That's nonsense. It's learning things, and you learn everything that you should learn, but usually don't in college, in a Bachelor of Arts degree, plus a Bachelor of Science degree. So you're going to learn, you know, great literature, great music, chemistry, physics, this type of thing, but also an MBA, in effect, learning principles of law, accounting, administration. We do all this, but more importantly, what we've done in this book is tell you exactly how to divide those 16 quarters of the 4 years in college into doing practical things, learning practical things. My co-author, Max Smith, and his son, who's also a co-author, who we're using as a guinea pig for this, learning to do practical things like tea. It's valuable to know how to save a life in an emergency situation. So we took that course and then was able to parlay that to becoming an EMT on a firefighting team out west. We're always
That's
fires.
Great.
And as an 18-year-old, he was getting $600 a day with no expenses. They cover all that. So it all went to the bottom line, all went to the bank. Plus, he was getting more valuable experience. The next thing, he learned to be a pilot. We suggest perhaps go to Alaska to learn to fly, okay? That's the next thing. The next thing that he's going to do is go to Thailand. So you're seeing the world and other cultures, but not as a tourist. That's, forget about a tourist. To go to a Muay Thai school for 3 months and learn to become a skilled fighter. And of course, one of the things that we do all around the edges here is properly learn to use guns and so forth. The next thing is he might go to, for his next quarter, we call it a cycle, go to Georgia and learn to operate all kinds of heavy equipment, just knowledge to have. Next quarter, he might go to Florence and for a month learn to be a professional chef. This is a valuable skill, not because you want to be Gordon Ramsay or Wolfgang Puck, but because you want to know these things. Then from there, you might go to Canada and learn to be a welder and a metal worker. And so there's lots of things that he's doing. Meanwhile, he's learning things and all kinds of other things. So we're filling this time because if you go to college, you're basically spending 80% of that time just BSing with the guys and drinking and staying up late and chasing girls, and it's all fine. But this is the four most valuable years of your life. The idea is to turn yourself into a Renaissance man during those 4 years, so that no matter what happens to the world, no matter what the economic upset, financial upset, global military upset, you can land on your feet because you've got the skills. You can do things in addition to knowing things. So that's it in a nutshell. And everybody should read this book. I'm not kidding you, especially if you got kids that are about to launch themselves into the world. Don't let them fall into the cesspool of college.
Well, the point well taken. And I'm laughing not because I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at you because you're right. I look at my college years. Number one, I had a great time. Not sure what I learned, but I had a great time. Number two, did I regret it? Highly regretted it because I was $40,000 at the time in the hole. And that took me a good 10 years to work off. And just think, if I could have invested that $40,000, even just had experiences some other way, as opposed to being in debt, I would have come out ahead much sooner, if you would.
Yeah, me too. Same thing.
Yeah. Probably the best experience I had in college was actually traveling. I backpacked and studied abroad in Eastern Europe. And yeah, I don't know if I told you this, but my stepbrother and I would literally go from country to country, and we had asked the question, this is when the wall was coming down or came down, would Doug Casey or Jim Rogers invest here? We had asked ourselves that question. And the answer, besides Poland and Czech Republic, the answer was always no. It's not cheap enough for them. But yeah, that's my two cents. Doug, where can people get a hold of the book? Is it on Amazon, or are you self-publishing or what?
It's on Amazon. All books are on Amazon. I mean, that's the go-to place for books, and they make it easy for you. So everybody should get it. You'll be glad you did, I promise you. Buying this book is a smart move. And I'm not trying to sell the books because there's any money in books. I don't need the money. Hey, there's no money in books anyway. But I think this is an important book because we're looking at the slow motion, now picking up speed, collapse of Western civilization. And what you've got to do as a young man or young woman, all this is oriented towards men, is to put yourself in a position where you can land on your feet no matter what happens, whether it's AI upsets everybody's plans, that job, and you don't want a job anyway, you want to be an entrepreneur, which is what this book is oriented towards, orienting your education that 4 years to being. So, and people never think about it. If I'd had this book when I was in high school, it would have changed my life for the better.
Mm-hmm. It would save me $40,000.
Oh, yeah, a lot of time. And the things I could have, would have, should have learned, and had a lot more fun too. It's fun being in college, but this is a lot more fun.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. The best times I had in college were actually traveling in Europe.
Yeah, well, me too. That was the valuable part of my college experience, spending my junior year abroad. The rest of it, it was like extended high school kind of.
Summer camp. That's how I equated it.
Summer camp, right.
Yeah. Exactly. So talk to me just briefly about the other side of this, what we're going through, again, as a collapse, if you would, as you said, and I would agree with you, of everything. But what is the other side in your mind? What does that look like?
Well, it depends on how bad it gets. Right now, the stock market is at an all-time high. The bond market's no longer at an all-time high because interest rates have come up from the absurd 1-2% level they were a few years ago. But And it's dangerous predicting the direction of interest rates. I think there's every reason to believe, unless we have a catastrophic deflationary collapse, which is possible, that interest rates are going to start edging back up to where they were in the early 1980s. And people have forgotten that the U.S. government was paying 15 to 18% for money back then. People don't remember or know that, but it was real and it was devastating. And the problem with real estate, of course, is that, one thing to remember about real estate is most of these local governments live off of real estate taxes. That's what their big thing. Mm-hmm. And they're all bankrupt. So real estate taxes could go higher. Interest rates go higher. And the problem is that real estate floats on a sea of debt. You can't buy or sell a property or a house unless you can get a mortgage. And get a mortgage at 6% is one thing. Trying to get one at 12%, different thing entirely.
Yeah.
So all these financial markets are on the ragged edge, except as a speculative vehicle. I think that gold stocks are cyclically a fantastic place to be. But the whole world could be totally upset by AI, which is replacing lots of occupations, white-collar occupations.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, with AI, you don't even know what you can believe anymore. Even if you see it online, how do you know it's not fabricated totally?
It's, right.
So the world is on the point of being very, very upset. And what you've got to do is orient yourself so that no matter what happens, you can land on your feet. And I don't think people are doing that. People think it's basically business as usual. And I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And that's another reason why anyone, whether you're a youngster or somebody old like me or somebody young like you, that's why they should really buy your book. I am looking forward to my copy. I would love to buy one. I'd love to read it and I'd love to have you on again and discuss it. I love the subject matter. I'm a family man and my kids are getting close to getting out, but they're right in this age right now where they need direction, if you would, and really sound advice. And I'm hoping and praying that they take it.
Yeah, and it's a question of laying a moral foundation about these things too, because three most important verbs in any language are be, do, and have. And Americans are too oriented towards have. Gotta have a good job, gotta have money, gotta have a nice house, all this type of thing. But you only get those things by doing. But you can't do things unless you're confident and have skills and abilities. Mm-hmm. So that do part is really important. And the doing part should also transform who you are. Be is the most important of these things. And by doing the right things, you transform. You should ask yourself, not what do I want to do when I grow up? Do as much. Forget about what do I want to have, which is most people, or do. It's what do I want to be? And it's by doing things that you make yourself the kind of man that you want to be. You know, admirable, virtuous. I'm not talking about virtue in the namby-pamby way. I'm talking about classical Roman virtues, temperance, courage, just, virtue of that type. So all of that's tied in together. The whole thing is a package you don't get when you go to college, I promise you.
Great words of advice, and I couldn't agree more. Doug, I know you're a busy guy. I just want to thank you so much for your time. I'm going to link to the book to Amazon for all my viewers and listeners. They can buy it. Just go to the show notes. Also put a card in the video where they can go to Amazon. They can just click on this video, and they'll go directly to Amazon and purchase the book. And I would highly recommend it, and I'm looking forward to reading it. I want to thank you so much again for your time, Doug. You've been very gracious to me.
Thanks, Eddie. It's a pleasure seeing you.
It's great seeing you.